The seeds of secularism, grounded, of course, in evolution, have been and are producing a most pernicious and deadly harvest.
D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
We live in a culture that threatens human life at every stage of its existence. On today's Truths That Transform, we take a look at the systematic devaluing of the sanctity of human life.
Darwin's philosophy that he would literally say that the natural selection, that we would literally be able to pick and choose the people that we consider weak, that we should do away with.
And what is behind the call for Medicare for all? And how does it threaten you?
What we see over and over when we have state-run healthcare is that children, particularly infants and the unborn, are put in danger. The elderly are put in danger. The infirm, those who are very ill, are put in danger.
Join us now for an exposé on the threats to the sanctity of human life on Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. America faces a grave crisis. The push for government to take over every area of our lives, including in the Medicare for All scheme, now being proposed by a new class of socialists in Congress, is replacing the sanctity of life with a bureaucratic process. A number of lawmakers are working to repeal any and all restrictions on abortion right up to the moment of birth. And the phenomena of euthanasia and assisted suicide are growing worldwide. How did we get here? And what can we do about it? We'll look at these questions on today's program. Later, you'll discover why Medicare for All is a threat to the sanctity of human life. As we begin, let's be reminded that where you start usually determines where you end up. That has never been more true than in the devaluing of human life. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb takes a look at the root of the problem.
What Darwin did is give people license to do whatever they wanted to do because we came up through the animal world.
Well, Darwin gave him a worldview, and it was based on natural selection. It basically said the stronger shall survive.
If you come to the table presupposing there's not a God, we weren't created, we just evolved by accident, happenstance, that also is going to have great implication for what you believe about your own value as a human being.
In 1859, Charles Darwin published a book which caused an incredible stir, not only in the scientific community, but in the world at large. The book's complete title was On the Origin of the Species by Means of Natural Selection, or The Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life.
It's not just an idea of ape-like creatures supposedly changing into people. It's much more than that. It's really a whole way of thinking. It's really a philosophy of life. Actually, I would say it's really a religion to explain life without God. And you know, when our public schools have, by and large, thrown God out, the Bible out, prayer out, they say they've thrown religion out, but they haven't. They threw Christianity out and have replaced it with the religion of naturalism. Because what Darwinian evolution is all about is ultimately naturalism. And naturalism is atheism. And that's what's really happened.
The rise of social Darwinism, which stressed the survival of the fittest, came to full fruition in the totalitarian regimes of the 20th century, where unspeakable horrors were committed against those viewed as inferior in the evolutionary schema. It even impacted who would be allowed to be born through the acceptance of eugenics, meaning, technically, good birth.
Eugenics took root, though, because it had a kind of social Darwinist aspect to it. How do we reshape society? How do we build a better future? How can we have Tomorrowland, a perfect world with a perfectly healthy and very scientific and mindful citizenry? That was the goal of eugenics. And essentially, Planned Parenthood became the foot soldiers of the eugenics movement.
Led by its founder, Margaret Sanger, Planned Parenthood bought into the evolutionary worldview. And as a result, millions of preborn babies have been killed.
During her lifetime, Dr. Margaret Sanger said, colored people are like weeds and they need to be exterminated. There is evidence on record that Planned Parenthood is out to target minority communities. Many of the Planned Parenthood clinics are in minority neighborhoods.
In Romans 1, Paul talks about the degeneration of man into gross sin because they rejected God first and foremost. He says, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened."
Because of the Darwinistic, atheistic mindset and the egalitarian mindset that everything just evolved, everything came about by purposeless, undirected, you know, natural selection, and everything is egalitarian and equal, and you can't say males and females are different, we're to the point now that personal autonomy has become really so ingrained and militant that I can identify as a different gender. I say what gender I am, not my birth biology. In other words, we're in a state of societal chaos.
So when you think about that, when you have generations of kids that are now told you can explain all of reality, the whole universe, life, humans, without God, there is no God, then who decides right and wrong? Who decides what's good and what's bad?
This thinking bore its worst fruit in Hitler's Third Reich.
Darwin was a major contributor to the Holocaust. The Holocaust literally says by selection. The Holocaust picked races, and those races were supposedly in German philosophy under Hitler, under Nazism, were the undesirables, the weak. And so by the idea of natural selection, the idea that natural selection by traits, by selection of traits, they just arbitrarily selected those traits and they said, well, Jews are weak, the blacks are weak.
Now here's the struggle that people are in. On the one hand, we are taught that we came up through the animal world. Like the monkey said in the zoo, am I my keeper's brother? He asked the question. So we came up through the animal world. But when we begin to act like animals, and a man takes a gun and shoots a whole lot of students in a school, suddenly, how could this happen? What is really taking place? Well, he came up through the animal world. So what else are you expecting?
It only makes sense that a worldview describing human beings as accidental products of time, matter, and chance would result in the diminution of the value of human life. Nobody saw this more clearly than Dr. D. James Kennedy. I'm joined now by his daughter and my very dear friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy. Jennifer, your dad really saw the logical consequences of evolutionary belief, didn't he?
He did. And he knew that a belief in evolution would take us down a dark road. My father once called evolution the root of the problem. He knew that ideas have consequences, and that once people accept the notion that they are nothing more than a biological accident, they would downgrade the importance of human life. In a biblical worldview, man is created in the image of God with inherent value. But my dad saw that in evolution, man is just a happy accident with no more value than a snail or a fruit fly. He knew that the so-called survival of the fittest that evolutionists say advances us would ultimately be applied in all sorts of ways that would threaten the most vulnerable among us. Euthanasia, assisted suicide, 60 million abortions. These are things that could only become commonplace because our society stopped believing in God and started believing in blind evolution. My father shares more in this portion of his message, Evolution and You.
Thank you very much. Evolution and You was my topic for this talk. And my friends, the seeds of secularism, grounded, of course, in evolution, have been and are producing a most pernicious and deadly harvest in America. Now, the Western Christian view of man has always held that man is here for a purpose. The Christian view has been summed up in the Catechism question, what is the chief end of man? To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. But the evolutionists would not question whether that is the chief end of man or some other end, but would say there is no end or purpose or teleology in any man's life at all. Now, my friends, when you get rid of purpose, you also get rid of meaning, and you get rid of significance. If something has no purpose, what do you do with it? You throw it out. And that is precisely what the evolutionary view of life has produced. And no wonder that the second major cause of death among young people today is suicide. Suicide is something which becomes a very live option when life has no meaning at all. There has been a tremendous number of more people who have become aware of the truth, that they have been fed fairy tales and that they have been deceived. Even as Dr. Colin Patterson, the chief paleontologist of the British Museum, said that he woke up one day and suddenly realized that he had been deceived and deluded into thinking that evolution was a proven fact. And he asked himself one morning, what do I indeed know about evolution for sure? Now, this is the chief paleontologist of the British Museum, which has the largest collection of fossils in the world. He said, nothing. And he asked a whole group of evolutionists meeting shortly thereafter at the Field Museum in Chicago, can any of you tell me anything that you know for sure about evolution? Silence. Finally, one man raised his hand. Now, this is a world gathering of evolutionists. And they don't know anything for sure about evolution. Which, of course, is the best proven fact of history, of the history of science. One thing I'm sure of, Dr. Patterson, we ought not to teach it in high school. We're teaching it in kindergarten. But the truth will out, and I am sure that the day will come when evolution will be recognized to be the pernicious and harmful theory and falsehood and deceit and fairy tale that it really is. And people will realize at length that it is a great and glorious creator, the Almighty, Omniscient God, who has created the world and you and me. May it so be, and may it come soon. Thank you.
It's bad enough when people believe the lie that they are the product of blind, random processes. But it's even worse when those people are in a position to make decisions about whose lives are worth living and whose are not. Yet if the new socialist members of Congress have their way, that's exactly the situation we could soon be facing, with a complete government takeover of our healthcare system. Joining us now to talk about that is our own John Rabe, who's just written a short but very important booklet that we're going to make available to you called What's Wrong with Medicare for All? John, I thought the whole Obamacare thing was in our rearview mirror.
That's right. We all thought so. We had an entire election about it. And in a sense, Obamacare, as it was then known, was repealed, but it was never really replaced with anything else. And what has happened now, Frank, is that a new crop of people in Congress, many of whom are self-declared socialists, are, and many of whom will be running for president in 2020, are now saying that they want to implement Medicare for All. What they're really calling for is single-payer, state-run health care that is like Obamacare on steroids, including, remember, the false promise of Obamacare: if you like your insurance, you can keep your insurance. They're not even making that promise anymore. They are calling for Medicare for All across the board and the abolition of private insurance.
So for people out there who like their insurance, they don't get to keep it?
Well, listen, the idea is that everyone gets access to medical care. And you don't have to go through the process of going through an insurance company, having them give you approval, going through the paperwork, all of the delay that may require. Who of us has not had that situation where you got to wait for approval and the doctor says, well, I don't know if your insurance company is going to cover this? Let's eliminate all of that. Let's move on.
Well, John, lots of people think Medicare works fairly well. What's wrong with Medicare for All? How is that different than the system we currently know?
When they say Medicare for All, they're doing a little rhetorical trick. What they mean is entirely state-run, single-payer medical care like you have, say, in Great Britain, perhaps. Mm-hmm. And the problem with that is that there's simply no way to afford that in this country. And frankly, Great Britain can't afford it as well. The Mercatus Center and even some left-leaning think tanks have estimated that this proposal would cost $32 trillion over a 10-year period. Just to give you an idea, that's $3.2 trillion per year. The entire tax revenue for the federal government of the United States is $3.4 trillion a year. So it would be financially, economically catastrophic. And another problem is that it doesn't work.
So we see a doubling of the national debt as a result, more than doubling of the national debt as a result of this. Now, to my mind, though, the single payer question is a misnomer. It is the government being the primary payer out of all of the healthcare expenses. But it's the single decider that's the real issue, isn't it? Because it's the government deciding who gets what, who lives and who dies.
That's exactly right, Frank, and that's the most troubling thing about this. From a sanctity of life standpoint, that's the biggest concern. When you have a limited amount of a resource, you have to find some way to allocate that. The current system does that through price along with insurance and so forth. Instead, you would have to have government bureaucrats deciding who gets what treatment. We don't have to wonder what that would be like. The state of Oregon had a single-payer government healthcare system, and there were people who went through that system who had diseases, and the government decided for them, your treatment is not worth it, your outlook is not good enough, we are not going to pay for your treatment.
Unless you realize that human beings have a special and ultimate value based merely on being human, not earning it through having a capacity, then those who are deemed weak and vulnerable are very, very much threatened.
Such scenarios are not merely possible, they're already happening under healthcare rationing in America.
There were two cases in 2008, and this is really insidious. Barbara Wagner and Randy Stroop. Barbara Wagner had recurrent lung cancer, Randy Stroop recurrent prostate cancer. Both were terminal. But their doctors prescribed for them chemotherapy to extend their lives. The Oregon State Medicaid system said, no, we are not going to pay to extend your life, but be of good cheer. We will pay for your assisted suicide.
So Oregon wouldn't pay for the necessary medical care, But they did pay for something else. What was it?
They were willing to pay for assisted suicide. We won't pay to extend your life. However, we will pay if you want to go ahead and die now. We'd be willing to pay for that for you. Imagine that now. That's in the small state, the relatively small state of Oregon. Imagine that expanded to 320 million people in the United States.
Perhaps it's not too much to say that Medicare for All could be the greatest threat to the sanctity of human life ever perpetrated. Well, John, thanks for your great research and your good writing on this topic.
Thanks for having me, Frank. Yeah.
As you have just heard, the push for so-called Medicare for All is nothing more than rank socialism. It is extremely important that you be able to see through these ear-tickling proposals for what they really are. Do you want government bureaucrats deciding whether you are worthy of life-saving or life-prolonging medical treatment? Do you want some functionary in a cubicle in Washington, D.C., deciding whether or not you get needed surgery? That's exactly what's happening in socialized medical systems like in Great Britain. And if the likes of Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez have their way, that's what we will have here also. That's why we want you to have the three-pack of our new Truth in Action Q&A booklet, What's Wrong with Medicare for All? And we will send it to you as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. It's vital that you understand the threat to human life posed by so-called Medicare for All. And this short Truth in Action Q&A booklet, What's Wrong with Medicare for All, will explain it clearly for you. We will send you the three-pack so that you can share copies with others as our thanks for your generous donation to the work of this ministry as we shine the light of truth on socialism, gender insanity, attacks on religious liberty, and so much more. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or you can go online to djkm.org. And we also want to invite you to sign a special letter to President Trump calling on him to protect life by opposing any measures that come before him to implement Medicare for All, that fund Planned Parenthood, or any other anti-life legislation. The president has proven to be a staunch pro-life ally, so let's encourage him to continue his strong stand. Sign the open letter to President Trump by going to our website at djkm.org/letter. That's djkm.org/letter. In January, on the 46th anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision, which led to 61 million abortions in America, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo signed a bill into law allowing abortion up until the moment of birth for any reason. As he signed the bill, essentially legalizing infanticide, members of the state Senate stood and cheered. Just days later, a Virginia lawmaker, Kathy Tran, proposed something called the Repeal Act, which would strike down all restrictions on late-term abortions.
Where it's obvious that a woman is about to give birth, she has physical signs that she is about to give a birth, would that still be a point at which she could request an abortion if she was so certified? She's dilating.
Mr. Chairman, that would be a decision that the doctor, the physician, and the woman would
make at that
point. I
understand that. I'm asking if your bill allows that.
My bill would allow that, yes.
Lest one think Kathy Tran misspoke, Virginia's governor stepped forward the next day to clarify how the bill would work.
The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mothers.
One can see by the timing of these events that they represent a well-orchestrated push. This movement is not only about making abortion more prevalent, but about numbing us to the horrific reality of infanticide. They want to make that which horrifies us today seem commonplace tomorrow. Even pro-abortion advocates once had enough shame to profess that abortion should be safe, legal, and rare. Now, they stand in celebration, cheering a law that allows for fully viable babies to be murdered at their mother's behest. This systematic devaluing of the sanctity of human life is right out of the pit of hell. Of those who would advocate such evil, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, "You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning." Friends, we stand at a time in the life of our nation where its conscience has been seared beyond recognition. But as the darkness grows deeper, we must continue to shine the light of truth. We must continue to vote and act for life. But we must also pray to God that he pour out his spirit, replacing hearts of stone with hearts of flesh. Otherwise, America certainly deserves the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah, only more so. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. I'm Frank Wright. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
We are definitely in a Christian unfriendly culture, and they are trying to eliminate references to God, Jesus, and the Bible, and even a symbol as simple as the cross.
A republic is a government by law. If you ask the average person today what kind of government we have, they will tell you we have a democracy.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.